First time in almost a year, I am right next to Danny now. We're not on Zoom. Can you believe it?
Yeah, this is pretty crazy. I mean, to be honest, I did like doing it over Zoom. It felt comfortable. It felt like everything we were doing with school and work stuff, and you know, it felt normal. But I mean, it's crazy. I'm looking at you right now.
I know.
This we're not is on so Zoom. They're not looking at us on a clip, but we're looking at each other. And what's more important than
this?
This is
so much better.
Sorry, listeners, but I'm glad to be next to this guy.
Yeah, Zoom was good, but the basic technology problems, whether it was buffering, whether it was lagging, just not really to bother you that much, but it stood out and it was annoying. So now we're back, and that's all that matters. But not to open on the saddest note in the world, but today is the 1 year anniversary of Kobe's death. Unbelievable that it's been a year. And I was talking with our buddy Josh last night. How weird is it that this last year probably has been the worst year our world has ever seen in terms of just constant chaos with the pandemic and the injustices, and it was also the year that Kobe died. So in a way, it kind of, I wouldn't say makes sense, but the fact that Kobe died and we had this kind of a year, it's no surprise it was so bad.
No, it's true, and it's funny that you say that, because when I remember when we recorded the Kobe podcast on the day he passed, which would have been a year ago today,
yep.
I remember thinking in my head, like, I hadn't felt that type of pain. Like, I remember we were recording and talking about memories and shoes and moments of him being a father, you know, girl, dad, all that beautiful stuff that he had been doing since he retired, you know, from being one of the best to ever play the game.
Yeah.
And I remember the pain we felt recording. And I remember thinking, like, man, I've never felt this personal of pain from a celebrity's death. And I was the biggest Mac Miller fan, and still am to this day. And felt a lot of pain when he passed, which... Also, I found out, both of those I found out while practicing as a Wingate tennis player, mid-practice, which is crazy. But, you know, to feel that pain and be like, man, what could come from this? Like, what could be worse than Kobe passing? And then in less than 6 weeks, the world shut down.
Right.
And then we have only done maybe 3 in-person podcasts since Kobe passed away. Like, 3 or 4 yeah. in-person podcasts. And then we spent the entire 10-month period recording from afar.
It's crazy.
It's crazy to think that that year has passed, which, you know, in the same way that I can feel sad and look back and think, man, like, think of all the things that have happened that we've had to deal with. It gives me hope as well, considering we felt so much pain. And here we are a year later with so much positivity, so much growth in our lives, so much development that we've experienced personally. And I know that so many people close to us have experienced over the past year. It honestly, thinking today, makes me think, like, Kobe has been looking. He's been watching over us, saying, hey, when the stuff hits the fan, I don't want to say the word, when the stuff hits the fan, you can get through. Think about everything he had to do through his career. I think about, you know, when he tore the Achilles and came back and made the 2 free throws. That's what we all just did the last year. We tore our Achilles in March, and we just shot those free throws for the last 10 months. And here we are celebrating 1 year since Kobe passed and the legacy that he left.
The free throws really were just getting up. Honestly,
exactly.
If you think about it, not to get too personal or too deep, because we have a lot to talk about, but I mean, with the changes that we've had, you know, in terms of our personal lives and relationships and just friendships in general, and, you know, really seeing who's truly there for you, your best interests. And luckily we've, you know, been able to connect, and every single day, really, it felt like in the summer. And then when the fall came around, or, you know, we had stuff to get, you know, take care of, you getting your degree and now starting your job next week. But I know one thing that hasn't changed. And I wish that you guys could see this. Danny is proudly rocking the Thick Boys hoodie this morning. And I saw, as soon as you walked in, I'm like, there's no way he's not going to wear this hoodie. There's no way he's not. So that's just a quick little intro to our year. But I know we mentioned Danny's update. And I want you to give another update when you start, what it's going to be like for you when you work. Because you're a full-time man now. You're a grown man.
It's crazy. I would not have thought, I wouldn't have thought, maybe whatever mindset I was in, that a year ago today you would have said, hey, Danny, we're going to record a year from now, and then that week you're going to be starting a full-time job. I mean, it was just so far from my head.
Doing what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and getting into that, you know, yeah, on Monday, February 1st, I know we're recording now on the 26th of January. On Monday, I will be starting as a client exec for an insurance broker, which is I'll be honest, not something I thought I'd be doing, but to be able to work for a company that their standards and values just align so closely with mine. They do so much work in the community, so much volunteer work comes from the work that they do with nonprofit organizations and social services. It's something that if I can't be working in sports today, I want to be working in this industry. I want to be helping save money for the for these organizations that are not making tons and that they're just doing stuff to build the community, doing stuff to serve the community. And I want to be doing that. And I've wanted to do that for so long. So the opportunity to be able to do that, I'm so excited. I'm excited to learn. I'm excited to make an impact and obviously excited to make some money. I won't sit here and lie. I'm excited for all that and gain some experience with some really great people. But yes, we have known about my job for the last few weeks, but there is something that you have to announce to our listeners about what you will be doing in the near future.
Yeah, this summer I'm actually going to be up in Syracuse, New York. I will be interning with the Syracuse Spartans. They're a team that's in the NYCBL, which is the New York College Baseball League. And honestly, when it comes to this internship, again, not to get, you know, too detailed, but I pretty much just applied on a whim. I was looking at, you know, teams up in that area, and of course Syracuse stands out in any setting, especially in sports. So seeing that they had a team up there, I just sent an application back in November, and it's crazy to think that now, almost 2 months later, I finally got the formal offer. I mean, I was overjoyed. I gave a good Tiger fist bump like he's on the back nine of the Masters, and, you know, it was just, it was a great feeling, Danny, because finally, you know, I get to have that sense of, you know, I know where I'm going to be, and that's huge for me. I like to know what's next. I like to know what's going to happen in the future. To some degree, of course, we can't predict everything, but to be able to be in Syracuse and to be not the lead broadcaster, but being able to wear different hats, such as broadcasting and content creating, social media things, media relations with the local community in Syracuse. So I'm psyched, but I don't want to spend too much time on myself because we've got a lot to dive into. And let's start, though, with the conference championship weekend we just had, the Super Conference Championship weekend we had. Packers, Bucks, Chiefs, Bills. Bucks beat the Packers. Chiefs beat the Bills. We've got a Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes Super Bowl. First thought.
Man, first thought is it just reminds me of all these memes I've continued to see on Twitter of the big goat and the baby
goat. The baby goat.
Like, yep. It's crazy. You know, we're going to be able to see what we argue about in the NBA. Jordan versus LeBron. Like, this is what we've been arguing about for years in the NBA. What if we could see them playing? Yeah, of course you can't get them both in their primes. That's impossible. But
that's a good analogy.
Right? To be able to see Brady, first of all, playing at home. I mean, the game's going to be in his home stadium against Patrick Mahomes. I'm excited. And to be honest, recapping the conference championship games, I don't really see how you could have thought anything different was going to happen in the AFC. Like, AFC, as long as Mahomes was playing, I mean, we might have been a little bit fearful that Mahomes wouldn't play after what happened in the divisional round, but as soon as you knew Mahomes was going to play, you knew the writing was on the wall. I mean, Josh Allen had a good year. He's exciting, dual threat, and they had a new identity, that Bills team. I mean, getting Stephon Diggs in the offseason, like, you saw the difference that that made, having a good young running back. I mean, they made a splash. I mean, in an AFC where we thought about Lamar Jackson, I know we had talked about Lamar Jackson. We had both picked the Chiefs to make the Super Bowl, I believe.
We need to go back and look at that.
We need to go back. I picked the Chiefs, but I had playing the Seahawks, and unfortunately, Russell and the boys fizzed out pretty quick. But
I really hope I didn't say Chiefs Cowboys. I think you did.
But it's okay. We'll go back, and the listeners can go back and listen.
Monday morning hangover.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Of conference championship weekend.
But yikes. So of the Seahawks. Anyway, I mean, Mahomes just did what he does. There's some. I mean, Nick Wright had a good point yesterday on.
First things first.
Jeez, I'm sorry. I haven't been watching too much. But he's talking about how the avalanche always comes at some point with those Chiefs, and it has happened over the last three playoff stretches. They just find their rhythm. They have too many weapons. It's like we talk about weapons in Tampa Bay. Oh, Antonio Brown and Gronk and Godwin and Evans, and they have the weapons. But somehow the Chiefs look unstoppable. I mean, their offense looks like at any point they can get four consecutive drives with touchdowns. And that's the fear that they instill in the other team. And you saw it with the Bills. The Bills started out high. I checked my phone, 9-0. I'm like, all right, that's about as good of a start as you can get.
Yeah.
Points on two consecutive possessions. And they had a running offense. I mean, Josh Allen can get first downs whenever. I thought that was a dangerous place for the Chiefs to be, and it just proved to not be that at all. And the Chiefs ran to where we expected them to be all year, and that was the Super Bowl. But in the NFC game, when you tell me that Aaron Rodgers has a chance to make a Super Bowl in Green Bay, like, that should be it, man. Like that should be it. And the record, you know, Josh tweeted, you know, not Josh we just mentioned, my NFL correspondent Josh Dutoit, shout out to him. He tweeted, Aaron Rodgers is 1-4 in NFC Championship games. That is an interesting
stat.
That's
the biggest misconception, I think, is Aaron Rodgers. People act right. like he's right there with Brady. He's literally like on the cusp. That would have been his second Super Bowl.
Right.
And he's been around for how long?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even make that comparison. And when you saw, of course, it was funny watching the week before when Brady went up against Breeze, and you're like, all right, the two uncles are playing against each other. It's kind of like in the backyard, right. like one-on-one. But I mean, you know, to see what Brady did in that game, not that I didn't think the Saints were that great all year. I thought they were a little overrated, overhyped. Agreed. But, and we saw it happen.
And their fans do a good job of pushing them all yeah. season, that this is the year they're going to come back, and it's just... No,
and it could be Jameis's team next year. But right. we'll get into Ooh. That another episode. That needs that's the thick boy captain. But right. No, I mean you saw what Brady did, and then to go up against Rodgers. Yeah, of course it gathered all the headlines. It had all the hype. Brady, Rodgers, you know, like goat versus pretend goat, in my opinion. And then you see Brady that's the thing though. He didn't play a great game. And I saw one tweet that made me die laughing. It was like Jameis Winston's probably at home cringing right now. They're praising Tom Brady when he threw for, I think, sub 300, 3 touchdowns and 3 picks.
Right. But 7-3 rating.
Exactly, right. And then you see Rodgers. I was on a drive back home from Pennsylvania, and my mom's calling me during the game, and she's updating me. So shout out to mom for the play-by-play skills. She was pretty much saying, okay, it's third down. Rodgers is running it. Oh, why didn't he run it in? The play where he literally right. could have walked into the end zone, yep. but instead, down 8, Green Bay kicks a field goal. Which makes no sense whatsoever. I understand if you're down maybe 10 and you need points regardless. They were down 8. They could have scored right there. They could have gone for it on fourth down, whether it was a sneak, whether it was Aaron Jones, a quick little slant to Davante Adams, anything. It didn't work. So now I think after this game, the whole Rodgers, that's squashed. Rodgers might be done. I mean, he said it in his post game. He has no idea what's going to happen in the future with this team. I mean, that could be implying his own future. That could be implying his coach, his supporting cast.
Yeah, honestly, that's it. I've been a Rodgers guy for a long time in terms of his talent. Sure. I've always questioned,
the talent's always been there.
Right, and I've yeah. always questioned how he conducts himself after losses, how he conducts himself during games. He tends to kind of lose it every now and again. And people get on Brady, for example, for maybe berating some teammates and getting into it with coaches. But look at the change in yeah. the Bucks and in Bruce Arians, right, as the mm-hmm. coach. Look at the difference. At the beginning, you remember when Bruce was like, no, this is my team. I got to be tough on Tom. And now look at the end. Bruce says, I take a step back. I let Brady coach the team. That's what Tom Brady is. But I also don't want it to get lost on the fact that on paper, like I get Rodgers play well all year and the Packers play well all year. I had absolutely zero surprise that the Bucks won this game because on paper from Jump Street, the Bucks had a better offense. From like week one in the preseason, when we were talking about games starting, they had the better offense. And that was before picking up Antonio Brown. I'm not surprised. Like for me, this is crazy that people thought, hey, Brady's done. Man, if Jameis had been the quarterback of a team with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and they ended up picking up Fournette, you know, Gronk, these guys, I would have hoped he could have got, maybe not to the Super Bowl, but I would have hoped he could have gotten far. He could have gotten to the divisional round.
Yeah.
If you have that many weapons on your team, and I would not be surprised at all if the Bucks win. I would not be surprised at all because they have some. Do I think they're the favorite? Absolutely not. I think the Chiefs should be the favorite by 8 points or so. But I would not be surprised if they won the game because how can we look at an offense with two of the best receivers in the game and the guy who was just coming off being the best receiver in the game? We know what Antonio Brown has off the field. We know that there's some stuff missing upstairs. He's kind of like the Kyrie of the NFL, so to speak. But
some stuff
we know the talent that is there. This for me is like the Nets. If you put teams on the Nets, and now we put, let's just say, an old, I don't know, another player in the league, an old legend, Chris Paul, onto the Nets with those guys, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Lakers. Like that's the type of thing where I wouldn't be surprised if you put Chris Paul, who in my opinion is Tom Brady in the NFL right now, on a team with talent.
What?
Yeah, I think so. No, I mean in terms
LeBron
of what he could be.
LeBron is the Tom Brady in the NFL.
No, I think still like on the last year or two of their career.
Okay.
Last year or two of their career, and who can get the ball to the stud. I just mean in terms of actual game style.
Okay.
Game style, the quarterback.
Okay. Quarterback, I get it.
But if you put him, Chris Paul, onto the Nets right now, and you just let Kyrie, Harden, and Durant sit on the perimeter and let CP find them, should we be surprised if
it's an all-star team.
That team beats the Lakers?
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm seeing right now. LeBron's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we're talking about the best player in the league. I don't care how young Patrick Mahomes is. He's already the LeBron in the NFL, in my opinion. That dude's a dog. He's going to be a beast for the next 12 years at least. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bucks win the Super Bowl. I wouldn't. Brady is a winner. I mean, we know this from the start. Would we have predicted this from the start with Brady being 42, 43 years old? No, I certainly wouldn't have. But I'm not surprised anymore. I mean, when you sit back and you're like, oh, you beat Breeze? Well, yeah, he's been better than Breeze his whole career. I mean, people who argue Breeze is the best is just ridiculous. And if you argue Rodgers is the best, or how many times he's gotten to the big dance and fallen short, I'm not surprised to see these two in the Super Bowl. And this is like the only football game in the playoffs, I'm telling you. I've been like ultimately excited to sit down and watch.
Because
to see Mahomes versus Brady, I mean, it's the closest thing we've seen to Tiger versus Jack Nicklaus or Jordan versus LeBron or Federer versus
this is a real life
Rod Laver.
We get to see it.
This is what we get to see. I mean, Michael Johnson versus Usain Bolt. Like, we're really seeing that. Yeah, of course Brady's at the back end.
So,
but
Pat Mahomes could be Tom Brady's kid.
It's crazy. Because Mahomes is what, 20?
He's 25. Brady's 43.
That's ridiculous.
Do the math, guys. That's 18. I mean, it doesn't happen often, but I mean, hey, it could have happened. That's crazy enough to think about. But really, I think I agree with you in every facet of this. It's going to be a great game. I think that last year's game against the 49ers was good because of the success they had. But this one, of course, you factor in the names. Brady, Gronk, AB finally in a Super Bowl. AB and Le'Veon Bell are in a Super Bowl without Big Ben.
Crazy.
How funny is that? Sorry, Nick Robinson. We didn't mean to dig on you. But
also, Big Ben deserves that. So
yeah, sorry.
Not a good
game. But it's going to be a heck of a game. We're going to save our score predictions for next week because the Super Bowl is in 2 weeks. Sadly, we have to wait.
Crazy.
But that's okay. Moving forward to the NBA, because you all know that we talk about the NBA every single episode. I have down stuff happening in the NBA. Let's just get through the quick ones. LeBron scored 46 last night. That was unreal. The Bucks are solid. I was listening to a podcast the other day about how Giannis is just not, doesn't look like he's given the same effort on defense as he was in years past. I don't blame him. He's trying to save his energy, maybe trying to look at LeBron and try and mirror him in that facet. But the Sixers are really good. The Nets look, I would have, on paper, the Nets look unstoppable, but Colin Sexton had other ideas, I would say. You've got the standings up. What's most surprising when you look at 1 through 8 in the East and West?
Yeah, when I look, I mean, it is kind of similar to what we had talked about in the majority of it. I mean, I know you had predicted Philly being up high. I had predicted them being a little bit lower. That was a heck of a prediction by you.
Thank you.
And the thing is, I don't see it changing. I mean, if Embiid wants
either.
To keep on this MVP run, I mean, we're a quarter through right now. We're 17, 18 games through of a 72-game season. Joel Embiid is the front runner for the MVP right now.
He is.
He is.
By far.
I don't know about by far because LeBron James still exists. But I think points and impact-wise, no, you're 100% right. All jokes aside. Embiid is playing MVP basketball. And you said it. You said it. I want to give you credit. When you talked about the Sixers team, I thought about the Sixers like the old Sixers that we've seen. And obviously, you know how excited I was for Doc to be there. I mean, like, super excited. I thought that would
be
We did call it. That would be the changing of the guard for Ben Simmons to become what I know he could be. And that has not happened yet. I mean, Ben Simmons is pushing the ball around the court. He is still controlling. He's still playing very, very top-level defense. But when you surround him with shooters, when you got Danny Green on one side, Seth Curry on the other, we've got, what's my man, the backup point guard who's balling right now, Maxey, when he gets
Tyrese
opportunities,
Maxey.
He's in there. Like, that's a team. And you got Thibault who can play lockdown D. You still got Tobias Harris who has so much more space now. Have you noticed that if you watch them play, which I hope our listeners do, when you have Danny Green sitting in the corner, Seth Curry running around screens, Tobias Harris actually has room to move.
He does.
It's not like him and Al Horford going ISO, which is embarrassing to watch. They can't do that. this team is going to be a problem, like a real, real problem. And if they keep this level up, I mean, Boston looks very good as well. They're just running off what we saw from them last year. Offense, defense, three-pointers. Jason Tatum's still nasty. Jaylen Brown's playing unbelievable. Like, they're going to be a problem. And Milwaukee and Brooklyn have not found it yet. I think both of them will find that rhythm and end up being the top two spots. I really don't falter that. I don't think. But the number one thing that is surprising to me when I look at the standings right now is Washington. What on earth is going on? I had Washington in the eighth spot, and right now I am cringing at my own prediction because I thought Russell Westbrook, the king of stat stuffing, the king of being able to take a team with projects and bring them to the playoffs, and I'm not saying it's over yet. They've only played, what, 12 games. I mean, Washington's played the least amount of games. I don't know what's going on. They must have had some games canceled due to COVID, but 3-9. Yeah, and Bradley Beal's averaging 30. I mean, like, Russell's still averaging a triple-double. Is it just that bad of a team? Like, I thought Thomas Bryant could get him around. Like, I thought they were guys. I cannot believe I'm looking at Washington in the 14 spot, Charlotte in the 12 spot. First of all, Charlotte's surging. Get LaMelo a starting position, for goodness sakes, because if Terry Rozier or Devontae Graham can be a sixth man, that's a dangerous team because LaMelo can get the ball anywhere. There's just so many things to talk about. Cleveland's playing well. How is New York in the 8th spot? Julius Randle looks like he wants most improved over anybody else in the NBA. That boy is balling. And they have the best defense in the NBA, which is crazy to think about.
Well, it's
the
Tom Knicks. Thibodeau. It makes sense.
It does make sense.
It's correlation.
But to think Knicks as the best defensive team after the last few years of nonsense we've seen. But the East, I mean, before we get into the West, the East looks like...
The East, it could really change because 100%. when you look at Atlanta in the 6th spot, they're 8-8. Right. You go all the way down to Charlotte at 12, they're 7-10.
Right.
It's going to change. It's going to move. But I did want to mention, first off, I think I've correctly predicted the 76ers the last 3 years.
Right.
When they got Horford, I said at the beginning, this is not going to work. They're not going to have spacing. They're not going to be able to shoot the ball. What happened? Horford was out.
Right.
Brett Brown was out. They sucked. They got swept in the first round last year. Mm. Wanted to say that. And now this year, with how they look, their team overall, they've just got... You look at a team that needs to get a championship, you have to have a checklist. You've got to have guys that can score, you know, at will. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, check. You got to have guys that are young with energy that can come off the bench and provide you some, you know, excitement. Tyrese Maxey, check.
Thibault, check.
You've got Thibault, check. You've got guys that can also, maybe when it's not your star's night, guys that can come in and have 25, 30 points. Tobias Harris, check. You've got all these players. You got an experienced head coach. You got experienced vets. You've got just everything you want.
Big time defense.
You do. So it's so much different from last year and years and previous years for the Sixers because now Joel Embiid, for once, looks like he can actually run up and down the floor and have fun. You know, early on when he got into the NBA after all the injuries, sure, yeah, the fun was there, but then it fizzled off. And the last 2-3 years, it's been, what are you going to get? Now he's right there. But I did want to say, I know you laughed so hard when I said that James Borrego could be coach of the year. If the Hornets somehow get, I think, above 6, or maybe at 6, or right up there, he's going to get votes, and that prediction won't look as bad. So just wanted to say
You're absolutely right.
Looking at the West, I think the thing that most surprises me, I would say Utah at the 3 spot. I didn't think Utah was going to be up there. I may have been a little bit shady on my predictions. I want to pull those up now as we're speaking, but... Let's see. I had Utah at 4. Okay, so I wasn't that far off. And then I had Golden State at 9. I had New Orleans at 8, and that's not looking too good right now because New Orleans is kind of
they're
reeling. Dallas is really messing everyone up because Dallas looks terrible based on the start they've had. Luka looks out of shape. Kristaps is here and there. Their team overall, their makeup is just. I thought they could be a Western Conference Finals team. Granted, it's still early, but. You never know.
No, absolutely. And I think when you look at the West, for me, the team that stands out that, like you said, is quote-unquote messing up the West is Dallas. Outside of that, it looks pretty similar to
Phoenix
what we had talked about. I mean, we
Memphis.
Memphis, we had talked about being in that 7-8 potentially. Phoenix in that 7-8. I had Golden State getting 9 and then winning the play-in to get number 8. So I got them getting in the playoffs anyway, so this makes sense. But Dallas being down at 10 for me is a little bit ridiculous. Utah being 3, I think I had them a little bit lower at maybe 6 or so. But we knew that they were going to be there. I think that changes around. I mean, I think Denver ends up getting up there. It looks pretty similar to what we had thought so far throughout the season. And I don't see that changing. That's the thing. Like I said, we're a quarter of the way through.
We have
so
much
basketball. Predicting the rest of the season, we have to look at the team. We have to look at fundamentals. We have to look at who needs pieces. We have to look at who's young, who's old, who's in there, you know, who's developed as a team, who knows their identity is what I really want to say. And when you look at LA, they're going to be the front runner all season long.
Sure.
Okay. Them and the Clippers are going to be jousting it out for the 1 and 2. But I'll tell you right now, I don't think Utah ends up in 3. And if it does it matter who gets the number 2 spot? I think either of them has the opportunity to beat Utah. I think Utah's got a great defense. We know what they bring on the defensive side, but they just don't put up enough points, I don't think. Donovan Mitchell is a guy who is proving himself year after year to be one of the best players, closers, a younger Dame Lillard, you know, like a slightly less explosive Dame Lillard, you could say, in terms of filling it up. That, for me, is what Utah is. I just can't see them holding that spot. But Denver being up there, Portland hasn't seemed to really find it yet, in my opinion, and they're still number 5. Memphis, I think, ends up dropping down a little bit if Dallas can pick it up. And Memphis, for me, was the first one out. That's what I had them. Or I may have had even New Orleans on the first one out, but we switched that with Memphis. It's no problem. But I cannot get through the West without talking about Golden State. And what makes me upset, like truly upset about this, is we brought in Kelly Oubre basically because Klay got injured. Like, Klay got injured and we brought in Kelly. Do you understand how upset that makes me right now? And I love Kelly Oubre. I mean, like, everybody who knows me on social media, like, that's the light-skinned god, right? That he leads the charge for us walking around. He makes the statements.
And that's pretty much it.
That boy is shooting three-pointers like he's blindfolded right now. I mean, I remember seeing a stat at some point. I think it was, like, 2 weeks ago. Including his three-point percentage, they were 19th in the NBA. You take his percentage out, they're 4th. You understand how ridiculous that is? And Andrew Wiggins is playing well. Pascal, yeah, he has his off game every now and again. He's playing great. Wiseman, we've been saying from the start, it's a perfect fit in Golden State. He looks great. He looks like by year 3, he could be an all-star. I mean, he looks so good. He's that point god where he can drive it down the court. He can dribble. He can play great defense. He can shoot a little bit, and he's trying to shoot the threes. Hey, Ben Simmons, watch James Wiseman. He's trying to shoot threes. Watch Giannis. They're trying to shoot threes, air balls and all. They're trying to shoot threes. You need to listen. But Steph right now, he's chasing another MVP as well. And we've been saying that. 28-6-5, that dude's not done this year. He could average 30 this year, or 28 at least. He's going to get up to 8 assists. If Steph averages 28-8-7 and Golden State can maybe get the 7. I mean, Steph's in MVP talks just as much as KD, you know, Giannis, LeBron, Joel Embiid. Golden State, I'm telling you, they're still not out of the question in terms of being able to make a splash. Because if they can keep it up, they're finding their rotations better every single game, and they can just hold on to a 7 spot. I'm not saying that they're touching the Clippers or the Lakers. I'm not. If they can sneak up into a 6 spot, watch out. Because Denver and Utah do not want to have to keep up with Golden State's offense. And Golden State's defense is still no slouch. I really just wanted to get that out. I wanted to get it off my chest. Golden State, for me, is a team where if Klay was healthy this year, and people were like, oh, they're still nowhere near. If Klay was healthy this year and Kelly Oubre wasn't there, and you had Klay's defense and his shooting with those rotations, with Wiggins playing well, with Pascal playing well off the bench, with Wiseman playing well, Golden State's a top 5 team for me. And they're causing real, real, real problems with the Clippers, because they've got a lot of wing defenders, they got a lot of shooting, they can keep up. That's all I'm going to say. Sorry, Golden State. Unfortunately, Klay is injured. He's out all year. We'll see how this goes next year if they don't move him for other pieces, which would break my little heart. But, man, the West is fun.
I wanted to give you
please
your soapbox. I appreciate for that.
The West is fun. Before you get into it, for me,
sure,
the West is fun right
it
now.
It is.
The East is a bit of a shamble right now. I think we've got a lot of room to move. I just don't see the West moving that much. I don't know about you, but I see this top 8, and I think maybe Dallas can fight back in if they can find it. There's a lot of season left, but that's about the only movement I can see.
I'm shocked San Antonio's right there, right behind Golden State. Right. I would say, well, here lies all of Houston's hopes to ever be relevant in the next 3 years. I honestly still think New Orleans can maybe rattle off a couple of wins in a row, get back up there. To me, I see 6 through 12 of the West having more movement than 6 through 12 in the East. I think that Atlanta is solid. I had them, you know, looking at this. I had them in, I think, the 7 spot. Cleveland, I'm not sure if they're going to keep that up.
No.
I mean, that's just not feasible. I'm shocked at how bad Toronto and Miami are doing.
Yeah, Miami is
bottom of the East. They're 6-10. They're right there with Charlotte.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Well, yeah, Jimmy Butler, but still.
Also, Tyler Hero's up.
Oh,
been out for a game. I mean, come on. He's been out for a game.
Come
that
on.
Hurts.
Come on. Jimmy Butler's way more
of
valuable.
Of course. But Tyler Hero being out as well as Jimmy? Because look what
happened. Yeah, you've got two.
Jimmy out last year when he was out on the bench. Who came in and filled
you're
it
right.
up?
You're right. You've got a good point. I still think that there's going to be a lot more movement, you know, naturally in the next 2-3 weeks once you head into that second half of the scheduling that the NBA is going to release. But we'll see. It should be a fun finish. Now I want to move into a topic that you mentioned at the start of the show, actually off the air, right before we got on. We had a lot that we could have just spewed off the air, but I'm glad we saved it for this because this is going to be good. Danny told me about a tweet that he saw last night, and he responded on Twitter, and he already ranked it probably in his head. There was a tweet from Legion Hoops. Rank these four 2016 draft class hoopers.
Hoopers.
1 to 4. My definition of a hooper, just to clarify, someone that you can throw the ball to, get a bucket in a one-on-one scenario. Not factoring in either overall, you know, two-way game in this moment. Hoopers. Hoopers. Can get you a bucket, 1 through 4. What's your definition of a hooper, and then what's your 1 through 4? Just to clarify.
So, yeah, just to clarify, and I appreciate that definition, and I think that would be the majority of people's definitions. When I think hooper, I'm thinking if I walk down the street in Harlem, and I'm looking at one of the parks. I'm at Rucker Park. I'm at all these parks. When I'm thinking hooper, I'm thinking if it's me and you, we're going one-on-one, I roll the ball out to you, I can get a bucket, and I might be able to get a stop. Like, because if you're playing one-on-one, we did the one-on-one tournament with Zeebo. We have to factor in defense. You have to factor in size. You have to factor in, at the end of the day, who can win a one-on-one battle? Because as much of a hooper as Colin Sexton is, and how quick he is, and all that stuff, if you get a 6'7 Klay Thompson on him, who's probably a little slower, probably not as good off the dribble, I'm picking Klay Thompson in that. I understand you hoopers out there see 6 foot Colin Sexton and you're like, no way, young bull, he's going to get a bucket. Okay, fine. Klay Thompson is one of the best, if not the best, on-ball defender in the NBA. Sorry, Kawhi. He can get a stop. That, for me, has to be accounted in a hooper. But maybe I'm just a coach's mentality or something. I want some defense. But anyway, when I look at those four, it's close. I'm not sitting here and acting like it's not close. But when I read some people's number, some people's choices behind this tweet, and I saw something along the lines of Brown, Sabonis, Ingram, Simmons, I just started chuckling to myself because you're not taking into account size. You're not taking into account speed. You're not taking into account defense. I love Jaylen Brown. He plays great defense. He's like 6'2". And if he's any taller than that, he plays 6'2". He could be taller than that. He could be 6'4". I don't know. But he plays
6'6".
See, he plays 6'2". That dude does not play 6'6". And that's what I'm saying. You got to play a certain
amount. What do you define play 6'6"? Like playing at 6'6"?
Play like Klay? Long, shoot over people? Jaylen Brown gets that, he a shot over.
His style isn't Klay, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That, for me, is a 6'6", right?
Okay. Like,
so anyway, when I look at that top four, I'm thinking about can get a bucket. I'm thinking about as of now, up to now, because they said, who would you take 1 through 4? I'm not taking today. How are you going to get caught in short-sightedness taking today? Who's going to be the guy you want? Anyway, if I had to rank these guys 1 through 4,
right, let's get to the rankings.
Right now. If I had to rank them 1 through 4.
Right now.
As of now.
Not on their career, but right now.
Oh, right now. Right now, right now, I got to take Ingram number one because he's by far the best offensive player in that group. By far. By far, he's the best offensive. Because you're talking about getting a bucket. Ingram is how tall? He's huge.
Ingram 6'10",
6'11". 6'10". You're not stopping.
I'm sorry, he's 6'8".
6'8". But he plays 6'10". You see what I'm saying? Like, off the top of your head, for me, Jaylen Brown was 6'2". Off the top of your head, Ingram was 6'10". Why? Because they compare him with Kevin Durant so damn much. I'm taking Ingram number one. Get me a bucket. Defense isn't as there like Jaylen Brown's and Ben Simmons' defense is. But I'm taking Ingram number one because he can get a bucket. I'm taking Simmons number two. For sure, because Simmons is going to he's a leader. First of all, on those teams, seriously, on those four teams, who's the only guy on their team who's the leader of the team, who controls the team?
You're right.
Ben Simmons, right? So you want leadership. Ben Simmons is a nightmare matchup for point guards along the line. Imagine Jaylen Brown defending Ben Simmons. Like, it would be funny to watch, right? And Ben Simmons is first team all defense, people. You forget this. First team all NBA defense. That's what he is. So he's number two. I'm taking Jaylen Brown number three because he can shoot the lights out. You've seen what he can do on defense. You've seen how clutch he is in the playoffs. And I'm taking Sabonis number four. And let me tell you, me and Donnie talk about this off air. It's hard to put Sabonis number four.
It really is. Because
you see what he's doing this year. He's averaging about 21 and 11. He's putting up numbers. When I look at the Pacers right now, like, LeVert's not playing right now, am I right?
No, he's out.
He's out, right? He's out. Because of the MRI and seeing what happened with his body.
Yep.
Oladipo is now gone.
Right.
The guy that we were talking about potentially taking over that team was TJ Warren, who had a good bubble, and we forgot who TJ Warren actually was. People were calling him a hooper during the bubble, which was hilarious. He had a good 10-game stretch. And who's it? Brogdon still there as a point guard? Like, I like Malcolm Brogdon. We love him. I mean, there's your boy who you guys let go, which was sad. But, like, he's the only guy right now. Sabonis is the only guy, and that's why he's putting up the stats. I'm not falling for his averages this year. I will not be prisoner of the moment. I will not look at Kevin Love in Minnesota and look at those stats and say he's one of the best in the NBA. I will not fall for it. Sabonis is still number four. But it's hard to say that, right? It's hard to say that with the stats. But he is. If you compare it to guys, Ingram, who is one of the hardest guards in the league one-on-one. I mean, he is one of the toughest. That's just the truth. If you watch the NBA, that dude is so tough to guard one-on-one. He always puts up points. You saw what he did on that bum Lakers team and what he's been doing for the Pelicans ever since. You see what Simmons has done year after year, and I get it. You guys can talk about not shooting threes. He's a career 16-8-8. I understand if like you want to overlook that because he doesn't shoot three-pointers. I just find you to be blatantly incorrect and overlooking stats when I swear all of you are the same people talking about James Harden averaging 35, playing zero defense, getting no rebounds, and averaging six assists at times as a point guard. So I don't want to hear you people coming after me about stats. 16-8-8. He's a leader. He's one of the most efficient players in the NBA. He's clearly my number two. I love Jaylen Brown, so it's hard for me to put Jaylen at number three. Talking about Sabonis, it's hard for me to put Jaylen at number three with all he does for that team. But that's my ranking, and I just don't see another ranking. I'm sure I'm going to hear another ranking.
Oh, you're going to hear another ranking.
But I don't see another ranking going through, and I've gone through it a lot. That's not a spur-of-the-moment thought. That is talking about it with my dad who's watching basketball. That's talking about it with Josh who has a different way of thinking about basketball. That's my number. That's my one through four. I just don't see anything else, and it was hard for me to not put Simmons at number one. I'll be honest. It was hard for me not to put him at number one. And we'll see in 10 years who's still averaging those stats and who's off when we're talking about hoopers. But that's my top four.
Let me just say a stat. Even though the rankings maybe aren't going to reflect what I really feel about this stat, there have been five players since the NBA-ABA merger, which was what, in the 70s, that have averaged double-doubles in 15 straight games. Sabonis and Jokic are two of them, just to let you know. This is tough for me. I'm going to rank, and you might lose it, I'm going to have Jaylen Brown at one.
I'm okay with that.
And I think that Jaylen Brown this year, one, he's on my fantasy team, so I see it every night. And I saw it on the first night of the year when he went off against the Bucks, and I'm like, oh, God, is this really how we're going to do this year? Not that, and I know that I said right now who I would have, but you have to factor in what Jaylen Brown, in terms of his experience, why he's so good right now. He's been to the conference finals twice in, what, 3 years?
Right.
You got to factor that in. The fact that he literally gets better every single year. Not that the other guys don't. Because all of these guys, at one point or another, Brandon Ingram won it last year. Jaylen Brown's probably going to win most improved this year. Him or Colin Sexton. We can talk about that another day. But I would have Jaylen Brown one. Two was hard for me. I looked at it as, I know I talked about getting a bucket, you know, being a hooper. But I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm too much of an analytical guy. I'm too much of a stats guy. And overall, what makes your team better? With that being said, I'm going to have Ben Simmons at two. Just because if he's on your team, you're laughing. You're smiling.
I can't believe I'm hearing this.
Listen, no.
I'm so
and
happy.
I want to admit this, that I've always been a Ben Simmons hater.
Right.
I'll admit it. I drank the haterade on Ben Simmons. He just never really jumped off the page to me. But now that I see him on a team that just has so much flow... Mm. Finally, though, it took me so long. It's been 4 years. I finally can say, you know what? I understand now.
Right.
Maybe not to the craziness that you say,
but
who knows? I'm going to have Ben Simmons at two. This is where I honestly, even though I love Brandon Ingram, I really want to put Sabonis at three. I don't know what it is. I like what he does. I like how he is a player that when you look at it, is he too late in terms of his playing style? If he would have come in the league in 2006, 2007, he'd be a bona fide all-star.
For sure.
He'd be a max player, and he probably will be a max player.
That's a great point.
So you have to look at Sabonis. Did he come in too late? Did he get in too early? I think he came just a little late. That's why I'm going to put him at four and slide Brandon Ingram to three. But honestly, if I can, I'm going to have Ingram at 3A and Sabonis at 3B.
That's fair.
Based on if Sabonis can show the rest of this year that he can continue to put up these kind of stats. Last year he averaged 18. This year he's up to 20. You could have made the same case. This is the thing that I was going to mention too, I wanted to save. You could have said the same thing about Giannis when he was getting better. when Giannis was just averaging 18, 20 points, not that they play the same in any, you know, aspect, but in terms of their progression, Sabonis has literally gotten better in stats every single season the last 4 years. Right. And that's not easy to do.
That's true.
When you factor in what he's done in terms of his stats early on, you know, 10, 12 points, up to 14, then 18, now 20. He's making those jumps. I think in 2 years, it wouldn't be far-fetched to say he could be averaging 25.
No.
You never know. I mean, what the Pacers are going to look like individually. I know that that really plays into the circumstance of the team.
Right.
So he could be up there. That's why I have him at 3B. Because if Brandon Ingram stays where he's at and doesn't continue to get better, which, you know, you never know what he's going to do, I would then put Sabonis over him. Honestly, I just like his game. I like that he's more consistent. I think you know what you're going to get from him. You're going to get a solid 18, 20 points, 11, 12 rebounds. Ingram relies way too much, I think, on the perimeter. He's good at getting to the hole, but if his shot's not there, he can't impose as well. The whole KD comparison,
yeah, I agree.
That's gone now.
Agreed.
That's gone. I know that he won most improved. He's a great player, not taking that away from him, but that's gone because you see what KD does. At his size and his build, he can get to the rim whenever he wants. So in that, I'm saying that Brandon Ingram relies way too much on his jump shot, can't get to the rim as easy, and that's why I've got Sabonis at 3A, 3B.
And the last thing I want to say about that is I think – since we talk about hoopers, it's unfortunate that we can't really include in that conversation where they're at. Because you think about Ingram, he's been in terrible situations. Like, I'm sorry. Sabonis is now the guy in Indiana because everybody around him is getting shot out. But that's still a team that's got good coaching. It's still a team that's got a point guard in Brogdon. It's still a team who's got another guy in TJ Warren who can get you some space. They had Oladipo this whole time. So he had room to improve, right? He was the fourth or fifth option. It's easy to improve when you're the fourth or fifth option. That's why I can appreciate Ingram, who's had to be the first option damn near everywhere. I mean, when he came in, yeah, he was on that Lakers team. But when everybody moved out of LA, it was just him. He had to average 30 points, and they were garbage. Guess what? They were garbage. He then gets shipped out to the Pelicans as soon as the Lakers are about to do something. And look at that team. He needed to average that many points. He's in a terrible situation. Simmons now took a team a couple years back to an Eastern Conference semifinals and was a ding-ding-ding-ding Kawhi shot away from making the NBA Finals. The NBA Finals, because we saw what the Bucks ended up falling apart in that thing. And yeah, of course, we put a lot of that on Kawhi, but who knows? Maybe the Sixers would have made the Finals. Who knows? Maybe they would have beaten that Warriors team. Ben Simmons could have a championship if that freaking Kawhi shot doesn't go in. But that's an if there, obviously. And that was with a much worse team than now. So I think you are 100% right when you talk about Simmons having this team. And Jaylen Brown's been with a good team. I mean, of course he's gotten better. He's been on a good team, and he's one of the three or four options every time. And Jason Tatum is one of my favorite players in the league. And that's the last thing I'll mention about this. You talk about Ingram staying too far in the perimeter. That's what the comparison was at first. It was Ingram and Tatum. Who's going to be the one to rise? Well, one of those guys ended up using his body to start getting down
low. And one of those guys grew.
One of those guys kept growing. I won't take that out, but he uses his body. He uses his size. Ingram's getting bigger, but he needs to use his size more. Tatum is going to continue on this trajectory that you're talking about Sabonis being on. And Ingram might not, especially with that position he's in. But I still have him at number one because I've seen so much at him. Maybe it's a little bit of hope. But I told you, technically in my heart, I probably wanted Simmons at one. I just didn't do it because I didn't want to get roasted. But you know what? I'm flipping that right now. Simmons number one, Ingram two.
Oh, geez.
Because now you're going to see this year when Philly makes another semifinals, maybe makes a finals if they get Brooklyn and you just see fundamentals beat hype. And who knows?
Maybe they
make an NBA Finals. They're that good this year. But you will see, guys, in 5 years, you will all be coming to me and saying, man, wow, Ben Simmons, 3 All-Stars in the last 3 years. Man, another first NBA All-First Team defense. He's got 4 now. You're all going to be saying, wow, we really overlooked this.
This is dangerous territory.
We really didn't see this. Y'all will be saying it. Just give it a couple years. We'll still be doing this podcast in 2026, and you will all be sending in photos of your Ben Simmons jerseys. And you will all be saying, wow, Danny, you called it. And I'll be saying, yeah, you're right. That's why we're on ESPN right now, because in 2026, that's where we'll be.
We're going to knock this guy off his high horse right now.
Never.
That's going to wrap up episode 53. But before we go, if you're still listening, we love you. But we're going to switch up how we do episodes. We're going to do 2 episodes a week. We're going to stick to the schedule. One, to start your week. Ideally, it would come out on a Monday. Today's on a Tuesday. About just stuff happening in sports, our opinions, unfiltered, uncut, right at you. Then we're going to close with a guest every week. And this week, we're still finding a guest. We're still finalizing some things. Could be someone that's really exciting. Could be a professional athlete. Could be a collegiate athlete. You never know. You're going to find out on Friday morning. Danny, final thoughts after our return?
Yeah, man. I can't believe we're back here face-to-face doing it. For me, I just feel more energy. I feel like our debates are more spirited. I feel like our numbers. I feel like our analytics. I feel like everything is just it's more locked in. It's more right focused there. When we're right here. We can look each other in the eyes and disagree about Ben Simmons and not just do it over Zoom. Because you know it. You feel my fire now, and I feel yours. Man, I'm happy to be back. It's crazy. And it's safe. You know, the good thing is here, it's safe. We get tested every now and again, randomly. We go get our extra test. Me and you both do it. So we're doing the safe thing. We're somewhat socially distancing right here. We're a couple feet apart. Maybe not six, but don't get out your ruler. Anyway, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited for the new schedule. I'm excited about our rebranding that we've just gone through. I'm excited to keep it going.
So much joy is in our hearts, to put it lightly. That's episode 53 of Kicking It with Danny and Donnie. We will see you all on Friday.